अघायोरिन्द्रियारामम् मोघं पार्थ स जीवति एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रम् नानुवर्तयतिह
जा
अघायोरिन्द्रियारामम् मोघं पार्थ स जीवति
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mammonist philosophy of work hard, work very hard, and enjoy sense gratification is condemned herein by the Lord. Therefore, for those who want to enjoy this material world, the above mentioned cycle of performing yajñas is absolutely necessary. One who does not follow such regulations is living a very risky life, being condemned more and more. By nature's law, this human form of life is specifically meant for self-realization. In either of the three ways, namely karma yoga, jnana yoga, or bhakti yoga, there is no necessity of rigidly following the performances of the prescribed yajñas for the transcendentalists who are above vice and virtue. But those who are engaged in sense gratification require purification by the above mentioned cycle of yajna performances. There are different kinds of activities. Those who are not Krishna conscious are certainly engaged in sensory consciousness. Therefore they need to execute pious work. The yajna system is planned in such a way that sensory conscious persons may satisfy their desires without becoming entangled in the reaction of sense gratificatory work. The prosperity of the world depends not on our own efforts but on the background arrangement of the Supreme Lord, directly carried out by the demigods. Therefore, the yajñas are directly aimed at the particular demigods mentioned in the Vedas. Indirectly, it is the practice of Krishna consciousness. Because when one masters the performance of yajñas, one is sure to become Krishna conscious. But if by performing yajñas one does not become Krishna conscious, such principles are counted as only moral codes. One should not therefore limit his progress only to the point of moral codes, but should transcend them to attain Krishna consciousness. Evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartaya pihaja aghayur indriya ramo mohang partha sajivati. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in the human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So, Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna here that the human life is meant for performing sacrifices. Actually, the English word sacrifice is very significant, because the word sacrifice means to voluntarily give up something, like one sacrifices his wealth, one sacrifices his life. What does it mean? He sacrifices, he gives it voluntarily. So the human life actually is meant to be offered in sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But through the process of yajna, which has been prescribed in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, is an indirect approach to Krishna. It is not pure devotion. Pure devotion is direct approach to Krishna. But this is indirect approach. Indirect approach in the sense, they perform sacrifice not for the pleasure of Krishna directly. Generally, in the Karmakanda section, the sacrifices are performed with some other objective. They perform sacrifice with some other motive. And that motive is material benefit. But ultimately, at the end, the result of the sacrifice is meant to be offered to Vishnu. They perform sacrifices for other benefits, especially other material benefits. But at the end, all the result of the sacrifice is offered to Vishnu, who is the Lord of the sacrifice. That is the point Prabhupada is making here in the purport. He is saying that those who are fully involved in Krishna consciousness, there is no need for them to practice this process of sacrifice. But those who are attached to pious activities, it's for them. The purification of the like Prabhupada said, there is no necessity of rigidly following the performances of the prescribed yajnas for the transcendentalists who are above vice and virtue. But those who are engaged in sense gratification require purification by the above mentioned cycle of yajna performance. So that is the difference between karma yoga and pure devotional service. The karma yoga is not direct involvement in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The karma yoga is an indirect way of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But bhakti yoga, which means pure devotional service, is a direct way of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the definition of bhakti yoga, what is the definition of pure devotional service according to Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion? Who remembers? Very good. So, jnana karmad anabritam. So, what's the meaning of this particular line? Jnana karmad anabritam.
Free of desire,
right. So, it is free, pure devotional service is free from karma yoga and jnana yoga. Why? Because karma yoga and jnana yoga doesn't lead or doesn't actually karma yoga and jnana yoga is not performed for the sake of pure satisfaction of Krishna. What is the purpose of karma yoga? Karma kanda, jnana kanda, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala, visharo bhanda. This Karmakanda section and the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas have been described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as two pots of poison. Vedas are actually meant to give the nectar. But before, this churning of the milk ocean by the demons and demigods for the nectar. So before, while they were churning, what came out first? First came out poison. So similarly, when one chants the Vedas, what first comes out are poison in the form of Karmakanda and Gyanakanda. Why they have been compared to poison? Because they are not leading to immortality. Karmakanda leads to, the purpose of Karmakanda is sense gratification. And purpose of Gyanakanda is liberation. So both are rejected. In the ultimate consideration, even liberation is rejected. Sense gratification, of course, is rejected, even liberation is rejected. Because liberation also is an impediment to pure devotional service. Because when one is too much concerned about his own liberation, then he doesn't think about serving Krishna. When a person desires for liberation, what does he want? He wants to just go to some place where there is no hassle. Liberation means free from suffering. When they get completely disgusted and exhausted with suffering, then they want to go beyond suffering to a place where there is no suffering. And that is the understanding of liberation. But does a devotee desire for liberation? Does a devotee render devotional service to Krishna for the sake of liberation? No. A devotee renders devotional service to Krishna for only one objective. And what is that objective? What is the purpose of rendering devotional service to Krishna?
Satisfaction of Krishna.
Yeah, satisfaction of Krishna. Pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, their definition of devotional service is Rishikena, Rishikesha, Shevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Bhakti, a devotional service, is to please the Lord of the senses through our senses. With our senses, we render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the purpose of rendering service unto Him is to give pleasure. And by giving pleasure to Him, when He becomes pleased, then automatically we also become pleased. Since we are part and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when the whole becomes pleased, the natural, the part becomes pleased. In this respect, Prabhupada gives a very classic example of eating food. You offer food to the belly, and when the food goes to the belly, does only the belly feel satisfied? No. The whole body feels satisfied. Similarly, when Krishna is satisfied, everyone becomes satisfied. And since Krishna is Anandamay, Krishna is full of bliss, Krishna is always joyful, then the question is, why do we then render service to Krishna? Because Krishna doesn't need our service. Krishna has millions of goddess of fortunes serving Him continuously. So does Krishna need our service? When we cook half burnt, half wrongly spiced, and the kind of cooking that even the new bhaktas don't like, does Krishna care for that kind of service? When millions of Lakshmi Devis, who are the very expert cooks, and of all the cooks, Srimati Radharani is the best cook. when she is cooking for Krishna, does Krishna mean our cooked food, food cooked by us? No. Krishna doesn't need our cooking. But we need to cook for Krishna. We need to serve Krishna. Because by rendering the service to Krishna, we become linked up to Krishna. And when we become linked up to Krishna, then we also experience the joy that Krishna is experiencing. That's why the way to become fully joyful is to render devotional service unto Krishna. So that's a very important thing to remember, that Krishna doesn't need our service, but we need to serve Him in order to establish our link with Him. We are His part and parcel, and the way to become connected to the whole is by rendering devotional service. In this respect, we can see one example we can cite is that a leaf of a tree. You have seen a huge banyan, say huge tree. What's the biggest tree that you get in Switzerland? Eichenbaum? Okay. What's it called, Hare Krishna? Mammoth. Mammoth.
In Switzerland, there's kind of a tree.
What
do you call it? A mammoth tree. I don't know the name in English, but they are very huge.
Okay. They're bigger than Eichenbaum. Okay, so mammoth tree. Actually, mammoth means tree.
There's a Latin name for that.
Yeah. So, how many leaves are there? So many. Now, every single leaf, no matter how small those leaves are compared to the tree, is rendering some service to the tree, isn't it? Like, what service does a leaf render to the tree? What is the purpose of a leaf? Who can tell?
It supplies air. It takes some chemical thing from the air and supplies it to the tree.
Actually, what it does is it receives the rays from the sun, and with the chlorophyll of the leaf, it actually converts it into energy. Or you can say, with the light of the sun, it helps the tree digest its food. The tree is sucking its food with its roots from the ground, and the leaves are actually helping that food to be transformed into energy. Now, when a leaf, as long as the leaf renders that service to the tree, the leaf remains connected to the tree. Right? As soon as the leaf stops to render service, then what happens? When the leaf doesn't serve the tree anymore, then what happens?
It becomes brown and falls down.
Very good. It becomes brown. And falls down. So the basic point is that it falls out of the tree. So in this way we can see that through service, a part remains connected to the whole. And when that part stops to serve the whole, stops to serve the whole, then it falls out. So our condition is like that. When we stop to serve Krishna, what happened to us? Yes, we fell down. Now, is it nice to fall down? How many of you think it's nice to fall down? So if it is not nice to fall down, then what is nice? What is nice? What should we do? We shouldn't fall down. We shouldn't stay. Fall down means to fall in this material nature. Now, is it nice to be in this material nature? Or you think it's nice to be in Switzerland? Actually, material nature, no matter wherever it is a very difficult place. A place full of suffering. So, since we do not want to suffer, what should we try to do? What is our natural duty? Due to our stopping to serve Krishna, we have fallen down. Now, if we want to go back to Krishna, what should we do? Any response? Huh? What should we do? Yeah, start to serve Krishna. So that's the reason why we should render devotional service. Not that Krishna needs our service, but we need to serve Krishna. Because by serving Krishna, we remain connected to Krishna. But when we stop to serve Krishna, then we fall down. So now that we do not like to remain fallen, then we must serve Krishna. And this service to Krishna actually begins initially through this process of karma yoga. One does not really fully understand that why he should serve Krishna. Why he should offer everything to Krishna. When one doesn't understand that, instead, he has too many material desires. When somebody wants to enjoy in the material world, for them, the prescription has been given for karma yoga. Okay, you want to enjoy? Fine, you go ahead and enjoy. But, at the end of it, you offer the results of everything that you have done to Krishna. In this way, they gradually begin to learn. Like for example, when a child begins to walk, does he start to walk straight away? No. A child, first what he does? First it crawls in four legs. Isn't it? And then, first the child crawls with his hands and legs. Then the child gradually learns to stand up. But still when it stands up, it wobbles. Its leg starts to shake and it just falls off. And then gradually he starts to put one foot forward and another one. And this way he begins to learn to walk. And then gradually it becomes fully competent to walk. Similarly, in our spiritual progress, we learn gradually to crawl with our hands and legs, then gradually stand up and then begin to. So before we start to walk, or before we become fully conversant in rendering devotional service, there are some preliminary stages. And those preliminary stages are Karmakanda section of the Vedas and the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. They have been it has been pointed out that they are not the goals, they are just the means. But if we consider those secondary means to be the goal, then we'll be mistaken. We'll make a big mistake. Therefore, it has been pointed out that Karmakanda and Gyanakanda ultimately should be rejected. And especially in this age of Kali, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us the pure devotional service directly, there's no need to actually go through this gradual process of progression through Karmakanda and Gyanakanda. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we got direct devotional service, pure devotional service has been directly given to us. And that pure devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is based on Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padashivanam Archanam Vandanam Dasham Sakham. These ninefold devotions, which begins with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam, hear what? The glorification of Krishna. Kirtanam, chant the glory of Krishna. Remember Krishna. Worship Krishna. Offer prayers to Krishna. These are the activities that constitute pure devotion service, directly dealing with. Whereas Karmakanda basically goes through the yajnas and other activities in the Karmakanda, basically goes through the demigods. They are not offered directly to Krishna. Through the via medium of the demigods, they are offered to Krishna. But pure devotional service is offered directly to Krishna. Direct chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is the advantage that the living entities have in the age of Kali, that we received by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's a very, very rare fortune. We cannot even imagine how rare a fortune this is. This fortune, these facilities are not even offered, are not even available to many great personalities like Brahma, Lord Shiva. Even they cannot get access to this. They also cannot get this facility. Only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, they get this benefit of becoming involved in pure devotional service. We notice when Krishna was performing his pastimes, where was Brahma? Was Brahma in Krishna's pastimes? No. Brahma actually became even inimical towards Krishna. He stole his cowherd boy's friend. So even Brahma couldn't enter into that pastime. Lord Shiva also couldn't enter into that pastime of Krishna's Vrindavan pastime, where Krishna was performing his pastime. Lord Shiva also fought with Krishna. When Krishna fought with Vanasura, then Vanasura was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came in support of Vanasura and fought with Krishna for Vanasura. And then finally Lord Shiva realized that this Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he started to offer prayers to him and beg forgiveness. Then of course, at some point Lord Shiva got an entry to Vrindavan as Gopeshwar Shiva, but not to dance with Krishna in the Rasa dance, but to be there as a gatekeeper. And that also he had to change his form. So in this way, even if they get a chance to participate in Krishna's pastime, that chance they got from a distance. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, then Lord Shiva came and participated in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And who is Lord Shiva in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes? Any response? Don't feel shy. Yeah, I'm sure you know. Yes. Advaitacharya is Lord Shiva, Sadashiva. Advaitacharya is an incarnation of both Mahavishnu as well as Sadashiva. Who is Brahma in Mahaprabhu's pastime? Haridas. So in this way, Lord Shiva and Brahma got a chance to participate in Krishna's pastimes through Sri Chaitanya. This is how mercifully Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave us this opportunity to participate in his pastimes. And he's inviting everyone, come. So this is how rare a fortune that we received. And now that we have, taking full advantage of being in Mahaprabhu's pastimes means to take advantage of the association of the devotees. We have to take advantage of the association of the devotees. We have to appreciate the association of the The more we appreciate the association of devotees, the more we will make spiritual advance. The indication of our spiritual advancement is in our appreciation of the association of devotees. Sometimes if you feel that we don't like to associate with devotees, then you must realize something is wrong with my Krishna consciousness. And it's so wonderful to be in the association of devotees. And association of devotees is not just being together physically, but being together spiritually. About association and physical closeness, Prabhupada gave the example, the difference of these two. Prabhupada gave the example is that the bed bugs are very close to our body, isn't it? But what does the bed bug do? It simply bites us. Although it's very close to us, but what it does, it simply creates disturbance. So that's not association. Association means being together in spirit, being together in our heart, by feeling for each other, by appreciating each other, by helping each other. That is the real So, here we can see that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained to Arjuna how to make advancement step by step through Karma Yoga, through Gyani Yoga, through Ashtanga Yoga. But in all cases, Krishna ultimately points out that these are not the goal. Just like after explaining the Ashtanga Yoga system in the 6th chapter, at the end, what did Krishna say? Yoginam opi sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shuddhaban bhajate yomam samyuktatam. Yoginam opi sarvesham, of all the yogis, one who is engaged in rendering devotional service unto me with all love and devotion, he is most intimately connected to me. So of the yogis, who is the greatest yogi? One who is a devotee of Krishna. Similarly in Karmakanda section, Karmakanda also Krishna pointed out that this Karmakanda thing is just an indirect way of serving. But best is to serve him directly. And that direct service to Krishna is pure devotional service. So in Bhagavad Gita, in this way, Krishna, although explaining the different processes of spiritual advancement, different ways of spiritual advancement, but time and time again Krishna pointed out that pure devotional service is the highest. And that pure devotional service has become available to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. And if we take full advantage of that pure devotional service, then our human form of life will be successful. And that's why Srila Prabhupada actually created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in order to enable us to have the association of devotees. He created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to allow us, to facilitate us with the association of devotees, in order to facilitate us to remain safe and secure in our spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada created a perfect system, perfect way of being properly situated in Krishna consciousness. And if we just remain in ISKCON, we'll be safe. But if we do not stay in ISKCON, do not remain in ISKCON, if we go away from ISKCON, then our spiritual life will suffer. And ultimately we will lose our spiritual life. Therefore, for sincere devotees, it's very important to associate with the devotees properly, in the being situated in ISKCON at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yeah, Vaishnavanam Jatha Sambhu, that's what they mean. Yes, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava because he is a great devotee of Narayana. Although he is an incarnation of the Lord, but still he is a devotee of the Lord. Yes, there is a relative consideration. The relative consideration in the sense that from some point of view, Lord Shiva is a very great devotee. But when we go beyond that point, yes, then we can see that Lord Shiva cannot be considered as the greatest devotee. There are others who are more, even greater. You see, according to the Vaikuntha consideration, Lord Shiva is a great devotee. But according to Vrindavan consideration, as I said, like Lord Shiva has difficulty even to enter there. Right? So, and in Vrindavan consideration, of course, like it's a much higher consideration. In Vrindavan consideration, the residents of Vrindavan are the greatest devotees.
Can we have more realizations than so-called
The difference between someone situated in Karma Yoga and someone in Bhakti Yoga, but not so advanced, is somewhat like somebody who is working on his own and he made some position for himself, made some money, made some property. Whereas a devotee's position is like the son of a very rich man. Now, that rich man's son, when he is little boy, when he is young, may seem that, compared to him, that other man, you know, who is a big shot in an employee in some big company, like is much more, is, you know, more wealthy. But although this little boy, the son of a millionaire, as a little child or as a young boy, he doesn't really have so much money, apparently. But in due course of time, when he grows up, he will get, he'll inherit his father's millions of Swiss francs. So that's the difference between a devotee and a karma yogi. The karma yogi apparent, sometimes when people may think that, oh, these people, these karma yogis or, you know, mayavadis, sannyasis, they're more, you know, advanced than the devotees. Now apparently it may seem that yes, they are more advanced, they have mystic power, they have, you know, all kinds of siddhis. Whereas a devotee, he seems to be just selling books in the airports or selling prasad, distributing prasad, or, and the devotee may look like a very simple person, like any common man. But in due course of time, the devotee will inherit Krishna's mercy. And then one who has the eyes will see that a devotee's position is much higher than all those so-called spiritual. When he is able to completely offer everything to Krishna, then he will become a pure devotee. Right? Then karma yogi will become a pure devotee. But generally what a karma yogi is, like, he is not really so attached to offering it to Krishna. Right? He is interested for his sense gratification. But after he gets everything for his sense gratification, then he says, okay, Krishna is for you. Or he actually receives it with the understanding that it's been given by Krishna. I got this from Krishna. But a pure devotee will not desire anything for himself. Whereas a karma yogi, whatever he does is for his sake. But then he offers it to Krishna. Whereas a devotee will not desire anything for himself. Whatever he desires is for Krishna's sake. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to pure devotional service. All glories to Harinam Sankirtan. And all glories to the assembled Gaur Premanande.
All glories to Bhakti Charavaraj ki.